So, a few years ago, my wife and I, we decided to go away for a little Valentine's getaway. It was cold, just like it is now, and we went away to a hotel in Connecticut, and we were there, we checked in, everything was good, and then the next morning, we get back out to the car to go on an adventure that day, and I go and I try to start the car, it starts right up, everything's good, and then I put it in drive, and the car's not moving at all. It just won't move, and I'm like putting it in reverse, going in drive again, trying to get it to move, it's not going anywhere. So I'm like, what is going on? So I go around to the front, I start looking around, I pop the hood, I see there's some fluid under the front of the car that's like a reddish color, so I'm like, I don't know what's going on. So in my case, what I like to do in these situations is I call my dad because he's a car guy. He is a mechanic. He's excellent with cars. He knows a lot about them. So I call him. I say, hey, there's this red fluid under the front, left side. What do I do? What's going on? I video chat him so he can see everything. He says, okay, it looks like you have a hose popped off. What ended up happening was basically there was a hose clamp on a hose that went from the transmission to a hub on the car. And the hose clamp corroded, rusted out, popped off, I don't know, disappeared, and the hose came disconnected. So now as it sat, it drained out all of the transmission fluid. So there was no transmission fluid, so without that, the car wouldn't move. So I was stuck there. So then I made arrangements, got the problem all solved, we got it back in business, I bought a hose clamp, connected the hose, got it all on, was able to deal with it there, put more fluid in it, and it was good to go. So that was wonderful. But can I tell you, for the next about 2 months or so, every time I got in that car, I was wondering, is it going to work today? When I put it in drive, is this going to work? Is this going to happen for me? Is it going to go to where it's supposed to? And this car had been faithful for years before this opportunity. But on this one day, it failed me, right? And I say all of that to say that faithfulness matters, right? Faithfulness matters. It makes a difference in our lives, even when no one else sees it. This car, as I say, I had complete trust in it. I never expected or even thought that this would happen with this car. But then after that day, for months later, it affected how I thought about my car. It affected how I got in and what happened. And today, we're going to be talking about faithfulness. Because faithfulness matters. So think with me for a second. Right, you're on your way to work, and you have a ritual. Maybe you stop at Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts. I'm not here to play sides in the rivalry, but either one of those. And you show up because you know their hours are such that they're supposed to be open, and all of a sudden they decided not to come to work that day because they didn't feel like it. And they were unfaithful to their hours. Chaos would ensue, right? Anarchy would happen. It'd be like, what? They said they'd be open. What are they thinking? And you start thinking differently about them as a company, and you start thinking differently. What if we all have a story, right, of the cable company? They were supposed to be there between 8 and noon, and they didn't show up till like 3 o'clock or something, right? This is a common thing in our society. It's always, to the point they've got that bad rep about it now. It's like we never think they're going to show up in the times they're supposed to because they've got that track record. Maybe some of you here, you're victims of unfaithfulness in a relationship. Maybe a parent, maybe a spouse, it could be anything that was unfaithful in their commitments, in their requirements, and it changes how you think and how you interact with even other people because of this. Because faithfulness matters, and it makes an impact even when no one else sees it. And the good news is the Word of God, the Bible, has a lot to say about faithfulness. Not surprisingly so, it's in the list of the fruit of the Spirit, which means that when we get closer to God and we're becoming more like Jesus, that that's a natural byproduct of walking with Him. His faithfulness flows from us because it's something that flows from God. And we value this in others, right? We all want everybody around us to be faithful to their words. We want them to keep their commitments, to be true to what they promise they're going to do. But so often we give such little attention to it in our own lives. And I want to challenge us today to walk in a deeper level of faithfulness to God. And as I say, His Word has a lot to say about it, and we're going to dive right into it today. We're going to start in the book of Luke, chapter 2. And we just finished Christmas, right? Christmas is just past us now. We're not even to the new year yet. So this is a very fitting section of scripture because this is about 8 days after Jesus was born. This is what's taking place. The Mary and Joseph are taking baby Jesus to the temple to be consecrated to God, which is an incredible concept. The idea he was the firstborn son and he needed to be redeemed and consecrated. And it's just an amazing picture of what God did through Jesus for us as well. So they show up there, and this is where our story picks up. In Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 25, it says, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God." And then in the following verses, it says what he said. But for the sake of time, we're not going to go over that today. It's very cool, though. You feel free to check that out on your own of what he said about Jesus. But I want to focus on Simeon for a minute. Because it says he was a righteous man and devout, which devout is a synonym for faithful. He was consistent in his walk with God. He had integrity. That's when I say faithful, that's what I'm talking about, is consistency, that it's integrity, these things that say, hey, I value what I say and I come through with what I said I would do, right? That's what faithfulness can be defined as. And God is always faithful to his word. So Simeon is faithful in his service to God. And he demonstrates this by showing up. He demonstrates this by responding in the affirmative to when God speaks by his Holy Spirit, that he says, okay, I'm going to do what you're saying. So imagine with me for a second, what if Simeon hit the snooze button on his alarm that day when God said, get going, right? I know they didn't have alarms back then. I know, it's okay. But but imagine he said, it's cold out there today. I don't want to go. I don't feel like it today. I don't want to be a part of this today. He would have missed out on the very thing he was waiting his entire life for. The thing that actually gets him known in the history books, because he responded in the yes, the affirmative to the Holy Spirit on this specific day, we hear about him today. I wonder if in our lives there's times God's inviting us into great, powerful moments, and we're hitting the snooze button on our alarms. We're saying, I don't feel like doing it today. I don't want to go consistently do this. I'm tired. It's hard. I'm ready to quit. I'm ready to give up on this thing. And that could be anything from a workout you started to a relationship that you're in. And they're very drastic separations, but they're both significant because faithfulness matters even when people don't see it. Are we consistent with who God's called us to be? And Simeon demonstrated this faithfulness by showing up even in the hard times, even when he didn't feel like it. And the Bible tells us another passage just a few verses later about a woman named Anna. And she, in similar fashion, demonstrates faithfulness. And it's so interesting that God includes them in this portion of Scripture. So her story picks up in Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 36. It says, "There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem." So Anna enters the scene now, and she is included in this passage of Scripture simply because she was faithful to serve God. And it even says that in this passage, that she faithfully served at the temple. She showed up day after day, even though it was inconvenient, even though some people would say it seems like a waste of time. She showed up to do what she thought was right before God. And as she continued to do that, God honored her and included her in the amazing opportunity to experience the Messiah being there before she passed on. God's inviting us into amazing things that requires faithfulness. even when we don't feel like doing it. It's going to be inconvenient. It's going to be hard at times. It's going to be a struggle some days. But as we faithfully serve him, we can trust that he is going to honor and reward those that faithfully serve him. Now, don't get it confused, though. We're not doing it just for the reward. We're doing it because we love God, and we're doing it out of that relationship we have with him. But the reward is a byproduct of faithfulness to him, because he rewards his children. He cares for his children. He wants to take good care of you. And he's got a good plan for your life. If it's not good right now, keep going and it will get good. Not proper English, I understand, but it will get there, you know? Keep going, because he has good things for you. In Deuteronomy 7:9, it says this. It says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands." So, we know that God is good, and my objectives for today are two parts. My very first one is to illuminate and highlight God's faithfulness, that we can be reminded that God is always faithful in a world where we are disappointed, we experience some letdowns, some things happen. God is always faithful to his word. And secondly, I want to challenge you and myself. I want us to be challenged in our walk to identify areas that maybe we're not being faithful to him. So we can identify the right things to be committed to. Because he has good things on faithfulness for us. So that's my objective today. So I want to tell you, by the time we're done today, I'm going to give you, I'll call it a checklist, but it's basically two things that you can do. And if you do these two things, you'll be sure that you're choosing faithfulness over unfaithfulness. Does that sound good to everybody? Yeah. Right? Because sometimes that's the tension point we feel, is being able to identify. Is, okay, well, there's so many things in my life, so many things that I could be doing or want to do, but what is God actually calling me to do? And by the end of today, if you can answer these two questions, you'll be able to identify those areas in your life. And so we're going to walk through that today. So before we get to that, Jesus made it super clear in the Gospels when he said there's two basic rules we all need to follow if we're going to be faithful to God, okay? Now, which is great, because in the Old Testament, there was a lot of rules. You look it up, there's thousands, hundreds of rules that were given that said, okay, if you follow these rules, you're right with God. And it was there as a demonstration to show us that without God, without Jesus coming as our Savior, it was impossible to fulfill the law, that we were unable to do so. No one is perfect. No one is able to do that. We can't reach God on our own merits. We needed him to come and save us and pay the price for our sins so that we could be redeemed. And he did that. Jesus came for that. That was the main purpose he came for. So now, since he came, our main purpose as individuals is to be more like Jesus each and every day. If we're followers of Christ, that is our purpose, is to become more and more like Jesus each and every day. And then secondly, to share his love with the world we interact with the individuals that we talk to, that we have in our circle of influence, that we care about. And Jesus made this crystal clear when he said to the Pharisees, he said, okay, he answered a question, and the question was, what's the most important commandments? And Jesus condensed all of those Old Testament rules into these two. And he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself, or treat others the way you want to be treated. And he even goes beyond that later on in the Gospels and says, not just love others the way you want to be loved, but he then goes to say, love others the way that I loved you. Which is a sacrificial love. It's a little more intentional. It's not saying, okay, just treat others the way you want to be treated, but treat others the way that I treated you. Which is, even when you didn't deserve it, God loved you. Amen. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, is what his word says. He gave everything for us and for our benefit. And he's called us to love others like that, which is a powerful, powerful thing when you see this in display around us. So, Jesus whittled down all of the rules, all of the laws, to these simple concepts. Love God, love others. So then the next question is, how are you doing with those two things? And then we start measuring, right? In your head, if you're like me, you start saying, well, I'm not quite doing it like Jesus, but I'm doing it better than they are, maybe. Which displays our heart as well, right? So, Jesus says this in Luke chapter 12, verse 42. It says, the Lord answered, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowances at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. Truly I tell you, he will put him in charge of his possessions. So this scripture out of context, you're kind of like, what's he saying actually? What's he talking about? So the place this is in is describing Jesus' return. So this, even though he was still alive telling the story, he's describing what it's going to be like after he's ascended back into heaven and for his second return to earth. He says, when I come back, it'll be good for the servants to be faithfully serving, doing what they've been entrusted to do. So when I come back, I'll find them doing that, which is showing themselves trustworthy. And with that comes a reward, is basically what he's saying, what he's getting at here. Which is very interesting, because then this causes us to ask the question as well that I just asked you, is how am I faithfully managing what God's entrusted to me? So let's even back up another step and say, what has God entrusted to you? So there's the relationships in your life, there's the resources you have, the time. There's several different areas that God has entrusted to your care that everybody has. And how are we managing them faithfully to represent Christ? So, getting now to the two questions that we can all ask to know that we're faithfully serving. Because like I said, there's a tension point. There's so many things. This church, we do many different ministries. And I can tell you probably about 90% of them I've been involved with in some way, shape, or form over the years. But I don't do all of them still, and that's okay. It's not that you're stuck, you know, once you commit to a ministry or an opportunity or something, that you are stuck there for the rest of your life. No, that's not what this means. What this means is that you're faithful in what God has entrusted to your care. So there is room for advancement. There is room for growing. There is room for this. But these are the two basic questions that I believe we can all ask to identify, is this an opportunity that I'm taking to be faithful to what God's given me or not? And the first one is this. Does this opportunity or this thing that I'm considering negatively impact my relationship with God in any way? And I challenge you, if you'll start to ask that question before you say yes or no to something, you'll have better results. See, I like being ambitious. I'm a people pleaser by nature too. I love to say yes to people, you know, not disappoint people and all of this. So often one thing I find myself doing is I overcommit to things then, right? Somebody asks me, oh, can you do this? Can you come here? Can you do that for me? And I'll say yes more often than I should. And again, because it's part of me and I want to do it, but then it gets in the way of some of the things that I really should be doing, right? Anybody relate to that? Yeah, okay, good. A few of you. That's good. So there's times I then neglect some of the things that are actually most important to me because I made a commitment and I want to be faithful to it. So if I start asking this question and saying, okay, does this negatively impact my relationship with God? And anything that's sin, the answer is yes, it does. Right? So if anything in your life that you're saying, hey, should I do this or not? If it's a sinful act, if it's something like that, you know sin separates us from God. It's something that's going to negatively affect your life. So when you take the time to pause before you make a decision and you say, is this going to negatively affect my relationship with God? And then you can identify it. So that's the first checkpoint, we'll say, or box to check in this evaluating, how do I demonstrate faithfulness here? The second one is very similar, and it says, will this decision negatively affect those closest to me, those around me, the relationships that I have? And if you'll ask that question and the answer is yes, then that should be a quick no. Because Jesus told us to love those around us as we love ourselves, and even better, as he loved us. Which means if they're going to suffer because of a decision that I'm making, that needs to be a no, because I'm deferring to them. I'm giving to them. Years ago, Bethany and I had some conflict, and she came up to me and said, John, I really don't like it when you do this. I said, oh, you're so right. That's wrong. You know, let me change it. So I'd adjust it, and then I'd be great on that area for about 2 weeks, maybe a month. And then I'd slip back into the habit of my old way of thinking, my old way of treating her, whatever it was. And it would come up again, and she'd say, John, you're doing it again. This seems to be a trend with you, that you fix something for a short period of time and then slip back into these old habits. And of course, when she told me, I defended myself. Right? I said, what are you talking about? That doesn't sound like me at all. Then I went and talked to a friend of mine. We're chatting about it. And he said something in the big conversation we had that shook me to my core. And he said, John, do you realize that how you treat your wife actually demonstrates how close you're walking with God? And that shook me. Because it's like, yeah, I don't want to be unfaithful in this. If this is something that I've agreed I need to change, I can't just be falling back into it. And once that was identified in my life, that changed everything. Because now I knew this is something that God cares about in my life. I should have known it before. But I now realized it and I said, okay, now His Holy Spirit can help me overcome this. And we sang about this in two of our songs today, that His Holy Spirit lives within us to empower us to experience victory over any bad habits, any lifestyles, any issues you have, any bad things in your life you can overcome because the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is living and active in your life. And He wants to help you overcome. He wants to give you victory in all the areas that you face. But we have to identify them. We have to say, God, I want to be faithful to you in these areas. I want to give up my way and surrender to your way because I trust that your way is better. Because it is. Because he is so faithful to his word and he has good things on the other side of being faithful to him. As he promises in these parables. In his statement to his disciples. So, this leaves us with an opportunity here today. As we're winding down this message, we've talked a lot about faithfulness and how it matters. I want you to think for a second. What would your world look like if everybody in it was starting to be faithful? How cool would that be, right? That we could trust one another. That when somebody says they're going to be somewhere, they're going to be there. When somebody makes a promise to a commitment, they keep their commitments. What an amazing and powerful world that would be, right? And we see in the Word that this is how God is. He's faithful. He always shows up, and he's called us to be like him. So it has to start with us. Now, again, there's a tension in this because the world doesn't function this way, right? So there's always that risk that you justify in your head and you say, well, if I do this and they don't, I'm going to be taken advantage of. But we have to go first, church. We have to demonstrate, and you might be taken advantage of sometimes. But you can stand before God with confidence saying, I know I was faithful to what you called me to do. Regardless of how others treat me because of it, regardless of what they think of me because of it, if I value my relationship with God, I place that at highest importance, right? Which is that first commandment. Do we love God more than we love the approval of others? Because I get it. This changes how we do business. This changes how employees function with employers and employers to employees. This changes how we function in our relationship with our spouses. Because now it says, I'm going to love you unconditionally like Christ loved me. This isn't conditional on what you do for me or how you treat me. This is because I know this is how God loved me, so I want to love you the same way. And that's hard. It's risky. But think of the transformation that could happen in our world if we start this, how our communities would look different, how our families would look different, if we will prioritize faithfulness and grow in this with God. Because it is a fruit of the Spirit. It has to come, and it only comes by spending time with Him, by connecting with Him, that we can grow faithfulness in our lives. So my challenge to you today, because this is something, if we all do this and we ask those two questions, and I'll repeat them again. The first one is, how does this decision, or would this decision negatively affect my relationship with God? And would this decision negatively affect my relationship with others? If we'll ask those questions, it'll change your life and your decision making. So I know it's a big ask, but I want to challenge you this week. So we're going into a new year. I'm not even saying you make this your New Year's resolution, even though you'd benefit by doing it. And this is something I'm working on. I'm trying to develop more in my life. But I want to challenge you this week, whenever a decision comes up, that you take time to pause and you ask those two questions. Would this decision negatively affect my relationship with God or my relationship with others? And if the answer is yes, you already know what you should do. With that being said, I want to invite you to stand to your feet. As we're preparing to close here, there's a big question I want to ask first, and that's, is there anybody here that you are hearing this message and you're saying, I haven't asked Jesus into my life. I don't know that I have the Holy Spirit living within me to empower me to experience the overcoming life and the victory that God has for me. If you're here and that's you, I want to invite you to raise your hand up just so I can see it. We're going to pray together. Anybody here? I see that hand. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else? All right. So I want to invite the church, just we're going to bow our heads, we're going to repeat this prayer after me for that individual. So, Lord Jesus, thank you for coming and saving me. I want to repent of my sins, and I want to surrender my life to you. I confess you as Lord of my life, and I believe that God raised you from the dead. And I thank you so very much for dying for my sins. I invite you into my life today. Help me to live for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Thank you. So after service, please do come and see me, and we'll chat some more about those next steps. But we still got more to do. So this is about us now and faithfulness specifically. So I sense that God is putting his finger on certain areas of your life. He's revealing to you right now even, saying, hey, you're not being faithful in your financial management with me. You're not being faithful in your relational management with me. You're not being faithful in this area or that area. There's growth to happen. There's things that need to improve in those areas. And if that's you, I want to invite you, and I'll invite everybody here, just to ask the question, Holy Spirit, what are you speaking to me through this message? And we're going to close in prayer and believe that God's going to reveal an area to you that he's calling you to grow in. Because faithfulness changes things. It makes an impact even when no one else sees it. So let's bow our heads together. And I invite you to even ask the Holy Spirit that right now. It's, Holy Spirit, what are you speaking to me through this message? Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for today and this opportunity we have to analyze our lives. To say, God, if there's anything in us, anything that we're doing that is not of you, we ask that you would bring it into focus right now. So that we can manage our lives well, so that we can be faithful with all you've called us to do. Help these individuals to ask those questions today as they face decisions, as they receive opportunities, as they're walking through their lives, that they would be able to effectively discern what you're calling them to do and how you're calling them to live. So I thank you for them. I speak your blessings over them. Help them to walk in faithfulness today and this week. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you'd like prayer for any area, please come and see me. I would love to pray with you. God bless you.